really enjoyed it. And we're in Joseph right now. And Joseph's great, great character of the Bible is a great picture or type of Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But we're going to preach, going to try to preach a message called Joseph's Gentile Bride. And this, we do have a couple people that are visiting with us. Mrs. Head's with us from Brazil. It's nice to have her, and also the Schoen family. Emma's here for the first time, so it's nice to have. Now everybody can look at Emma instead of me, because I know that's what they, it's great to have them here too. Joseph's Gentile Bride, and what this morning's message as we go along is going to be, there's types in the Bible. Joseph is a type of Christ. He is not Christ. But it's just a picture. If you look back in the Old Testament, you see his life, and sometimes you can see how it's patterned after Christ. And Joseph's bride, his Gentile bride, I think is a really cool picture of the bride of Christ. And so this morning, what we're going to try to hash out and try to work out is this idea, how the Joseph's Gentile bride is a picture or a type of the bride of Christ. And I think you'll see it as it goes along, how we connect the dots. As you know, I tell you before, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. So when it comes, usually people that preach about types or pictures or people like Brother McBride that's really smart and have a lot of experience with it. So this is the first time I've ever heard anybody preach about the Gentile bride of Christ, Joseph's Gentile bride, or the first time I've ever spoke it. So we'll work through it, and I think you'll end up enjoying it. And I think you'll be able to get the picture that's there, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you to help understand our need and how we were lost and we were desperate without Christ, just as this woman would have been lost and desperate without her relationship with Joseph. Here in Genesis chapter 41, and we'll see that, I know everybody thought that was great. How do you pronounce that name? And I don't know, a couple of people when I walked in the room said, how do you pronounce that name? Somebody said, just call him Z. Doesn't really matter. If I say it right, then great. You won't know one way or another. So I tell the people that are reading the Wednesday night prayer letters, when they come across a hard name, just say it with confidence. They don't see it in front of you. They don't know if you mispronounce it or not. So just read it. Do it with confidence. And if you get it right, great. If you don't, they don't know unless they go back to the board and read it for themselves. Or maybe Miss Mary Jo had read it, and she might be smiling about it. But here it's written up there. So and Genesis chapter 41, and we left this last week with Joseph. Joseph was taken out of the prison. We preached a couple weeks on this, and he's been exalted up to this position, this great position. We would call it like a prime minister position, second in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh gives him a wife, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him his wife, gave him to a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So what does that help us do? It just shows you who gave the bride there. And we're going to learn a little bit more about it. But before we get to that, let's go over a couple things to try to set the scene for this message. First of all, we can learn things from the Old Testament. The Bible tells us that. It says, now all these things happen unto them for an examples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. What does that mean? That means that these things that happen in the Old Testament, they're in examples. You can look at them as pictures and as types, and you can see how different people, how the Bible works together and how God's plan works all together, and how we learn about Isaac in the book of Genesis, how he was a type of Christ because of the miraculous birth and different other things we looked at. And here in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. This shows us that there is hope found even in the Old Testament and things that were written beforehand. So I think it's important that we understand that this type of message is something that can be encouraging and a help, and also encourage you to dig a little bit deeper in your Bible. We looked a little bit about comparisons of Joseph and the Lord Jesus. I do not want you to think that Joseph was the Lord Jesus. He is not. He was just a man. He was human. But there's a lot of comparisons and a lot of different things that are similar. And I put up a few on this page and the next page. And there's many, many more. And we might go over some more as we get through it in the book of Genesis on our Sunday mornings in the regular service. It says, first of all, Joseph was sent to his brethren. The Lord Jesus was sent to his brethren, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Joseph was hated by his brethren without a cause. And this is what the Lord Jesus says about himself, that he was hated without a cause. Joseph was sold by his brethren, and the Lord Jesus was sold by one of his own brethren. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. The Lord Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, you don't want to ever get lost in the idea that this is just a picture, a type. It's not the whole point. This is not the application that the scripture is trying to apply at this point in time. But it's showing us a type and a comparison of these two. And the next, here's some more. The brothers plotted to kill Joseph. The brethren plotted to kill the Lord Jesus. Joseph became the savior of the world during this period in the physical sense. He did not do it in a spiritual sense because of the fact, obviously, he could not do that. The Lord Jesus, in every sense, is the savior of the whole world. Joseph's name, that long name right there, if you go back to it, this would actually mean to the Egyptians, savior of the world. So when they actually bowed down and when they chanted his name and they paid homage to him, they were actually saying he was the savior of the world. Now, in the Hebrew, that name would mean revealer of secrets. And that's also the same type of thing that he did with the dreams. Joseph was numbered with the transgressors. He was a blessing to the butler and he was judgment for the baker. The Lord Jesus was crucified between two thieves. One was judged, the other was blessed. There is a lot of cool little things there that you can say that Joseph is being a picture or a comparison to the type of Christ. He is not supernatural. He is human. He, even though the Bible does not record any specific sins in his life, the Bible says we're all sinners and all are lost. And some people would say when he was not arguing with his dad about when they tried to lay the hands of blessing, Joseph should have been quiet during that period of time. But I don't know if I would agree with that. But I don't see any other areas where Joseph, the Bible lets us know that Joseph sinned in. So we come to this spot. Some of about the brides. And some of the brides of the Bible speaks about Christ and his church. Not all of them. You look at Sarah and the typology of Sarah. That's the type of Israel. But here there's a picture here that's found in some of these brides that are found in the book of Genesis. First you see Eve. Eve is a picture of the formation of the church. Think about the story of Adam and Eve and how Adam's deep, death-like sleep and the opening of his side and was a taking from the opening of his side and the rib taken from Adam was needed to form his helpmeet, or that's how God used to make his helpmeet. Eve was a new creature taken from Adam to be presented to Adam to share his life, to be a special object of his love. When we think of Adam and Eve, we think of Christ and the church. Where do you get that from? Well, you think about the church was formed when Christ died on the cross. His side was opened also for us and was a product of his sacrificial love too. And we are an object of his affection. Rebecca speaks of the faith of the church. And you think about the story about Rebecca, how ignorant she was of Isaac until the servant came from far and with rich gifts and a call. We think of her prompt response to the invitation, "Will thou go with this man?" We think of the long journey, the many miles, the days between her meeting with the servant and her meeting with the son. It is time well spent in learning of Isaac and preparing to meet him at his coming. And when we think of Isaac and Rebecca, we think of Christ and the church. You say, where do you get that from? Well, you think about it. She was the calling of the church. Abraham's servant found her in a pagan land. And just as we were found in a pagan land, the Holy Spirit came to us, called us to salvation. And we accepted his invitation. And by faith, we set out on a journey. And someday, we will meet our bridegroom. This is a hard and rough sometimes journey, just as Rebecca's would have been. But the Comforter is ever with us to guide us and to meet us. And the next one you see is Asenath. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but it's good, close enough. Asenath before us, the future of the church. And this is where we're going to say, try to bring this together, is the coronation of the church. What does that mean? She became the bride of a man who was brought out of a time of humiliation. Her husband was exalted, and she was exalted along with him. She was brought out of obscurity and made to live in a fine palace. She was taken out of obscurity and made to live in a high and lofty position, one seated at the right hand of the majesty of Pharaoh. And when we think of Joseph, I think of Christ and his church because, you know what? Christ is the one that's lifted up. It's all about him. And just because of the fact that we are part of his bride, we get to be part of the benefits there. This woman, Asenath, she might have had a position in the day and time that she lived in, but it was not in that special of a place. It was now she is getting benefits because of the fact that she is because of who she is married to. And that's the same way when it comes to us as Christ being our bridegroom. And someday we will have benefits, and we're going to look at that in a little bit, our special place, because of who we are married to. Think about it. First thing I want you to think about is her sinful past. And if you did a little bit of a study on her, she was brought up in idolatry. She was brought up in wickedness. The woman Joseph received as a bride was named Asenath. The name was meaning belonging to the goddess of Neith. Neith was known as the mother of the earth of the Delta. She was worshipped as the mother of the Egyptian gods, Isis, Horus, and Osiris. This goddess was known to be the source of all wisdom. The Egyptians believed that all the other gods would go to Neith for counsel when they had dispute among themselves. Asenath was raised to worship a false and pagan god. Her own father was named after, given by the sun god. And this Ra was also another god who the Pharaoh was believed to be incarnation of this Ra god. And whatever the picture we're trying to put here is, she's lost. She has no knowledge of the one true God. She has no hope. But when she meets Joseph, she gets to learn of him. God knew her. God knew her in a lost condition. God began working to bring her to a place of salvation. She was oblivious to the God of Abraham. And you know what? We are lost in humanity. You think about it. That at a time that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So how do we see this in comparison? If we are the bride of Christ and she is the bride of Joseph, she has a sinful past. Her sinful past will be blotted out. Her sinful past will be forgotten. Her sinful past, because of now she is going to be part of the bride of Joseph here. And when it comes to the Israel's history. And we think about our lives. This woman here, Asenath, she was lost. You think about it. She was raised to worship pagan gods. Asenath is a picture of lost humanity. Like every human being, we are all born in spiritual darkness. This verse here tells us that we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenant of promise. We had no hope, and without God in the world, there is no hope. And that's what the picture here is, that this woman here who was the daughter of a priest, of the sun god, never would have ever met Christ, would have never came to a saving knowledge or understanding of Christ until she meets Joseph. And this is teaching us, this is the way we are. As a Gentile bride, or as the bride of Christ, we are lost without him. It would do us good to remember this. It would do us good if we put in our prayer journals verses like this, and we remind us where we came from. We are all sinners. We are all lost without him. Without Jesus Christ, we would be dead in trespasses and sins, and we would have no hope within. It's only because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross that we are now his bride. We have a very sinful past. We are born with a sinful nature, and because we're born with a sinful nature, we forget that too often, and we begin living like we're not even saved sometimes. And here's the point, is that this woman here, she had a sinful past. This is our past. Isaiah 51:1, it says, "Hearken to me, that ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Look where you came from. If you're a Christian today on your way to heaven, you know, we praise the Lord, we had a wicked past. We no longer have that future because Christ died for our sins and we are forgiven. He's bought us back, and we're thankful for all that. But that's what this woman pictures here. Back in the Old Testament, this woman did not know, oblivious to God, unless someone introduced her. And that's what Joseph became to her, someone who brought her to the one true and living God. Do we know whether or not this woman accepted Christ? We do not know what her faith became, but I can imagine, and I'm of the belief that she, because God allowed her to be part of the mother of the two children that became the heads of the tribe, that she did become a believer. And how could you not spend time with Joseph and live with Joseph all those years and the one true God without at least understanding who the one true God is? The next thing, and I think this is the cool thing here, is her special place. You know what? Because of who she was married to, she got to have a special spot. To be able to understand her place, first of all, we need to ignore her altogether. So what do you mean? Well, we need to concentrate on Joseph for a little while. See, Joseph's sufferings were over, and now for him there remained nothing but glory. and because of his glory, Asenath would share. He was highly exalted. You think about it. He was taken from a spot. And you can look what it says in verses 40 and 41 in chapter 41. It says here, it says, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh had set him up above everyone else in all the land. This he was highly extolled, and which means that they were highly reverenced. Look what it says in verse 43. And he made him to ride the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. I don't know if you can picture what was going on, but they're sitting there and they're saying this name over and over, bowing down, worshiping Joseph, and they're extolling him. And you know what? You know who's getting all these benefits? His wife, Asenath. She would have not had any of this. She would not have had this position. She would not have had all these wonderful things. It was just because of Joseph. She had a special place. Asenath did not achieve this honor for herself. In fact, she had nothing to do with the matter. She was picked out by Pharaoh. She was given to Joseph. In other words, she had no special merit to be able to have this position of glory. She was merely the object of a sovereign choice. Nothing is said about Asenath regarding her looks, her talents, or anything else. It would seem that her husband, and not Asenath, is the center of attention. How does that help us? Well, once again, we're picturing her as a bride, as a picture or a type of the future of the bride of Christ, and you see our special place. Look what the Bible says. For by one Spirit we are all baptized in one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we have all entered into the body of Christ. But what happens to those that are in the body of Christ? And he says, and have raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, someday we will be able to benefit everything that Christ has just because we're associated with him. I mean, this is the exciting part. This is where Asenath, this is a picture here. She had a special place. It wasn't because of anything she did. It was all about Joseph. It was all about her bridegroom. It was all about who he was. And in our lives, it's the same thing. We are going to be able to sit in heavenly places, and we are going to be able to be exalted up to a spot of glory, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who we are associated with and Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us joint heirs. And I think it's a special place, and we need to understand this and be, in a sense, excited about it. According to Ephesians 2:6, he has lifted us up and made us to sit with him in the throne. You see, the Savior, like Joseph, suffered a time of humiliation and rejection. He died and descended into the grave. He rose again, ascended up to heaven, and he has taken his place at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know about you, but we do not deserve to be there. And you think about it. Our heavenly bridegroom has only one bride. And I guess it's Joseph in that day. And that's his church. He redeemed her when he died for her sins on the cross. He secured her eternity when he rose again from the dead. He has gone ahead to prepare a place for her. And you think about all the wonderful things we have that's coming to us. And it's nothing about us, but about who we are associated with, who is our bridegroom. He will return and claim her unto himself and take her home to the place she already is. The only way to be a part of the bride is to realize that we're a lost sinner and that we need Christ as our Savior. The next thing I want you to think about, not only do we think about her sinful past and her special place and how they compare to ours, but think about her sovereign part. Her sovereign part. You look here in verses 50 through 52, she has children. You know, what does that mean, sovereign part? What part does she play in God's plan for all this? God allows her to have two boys, and these two boys become two of the leaders of the tribes of Israel. It says here in verses 50 through 52, and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar's priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil on all my father's house. The name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You say, what does it have to do with anything? Well, see, God had a special plan and a purpose for her. God wanted this woman to have these two children, and these two children are going to become two of the heads of the tribes of Israel, and then God is going to bless the nation of Israel. And you say, what does that have to do with us? Well, we have a sovereign part of God's plan too. God has a plan and a purpose for us. The Bible says here, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. And it's just like he did this for Asenath and gave her the opportunity to be able to get the glory from her husband, and a special plan for her. I guess one of the things that we need to consider and understand is, what is God's plan for us? What is our part in this sovereign plan that God had? You go back and you look at the story of Joseph. Man, what an amazing story it was. You see God's sovereignty in all of that. You know, as a boy being thrown into that pit, sold into slavery, being taught, and we talked about this throughout the last Sunday mornings, is being trained and shown each step of the way, still choosing to live for God, even though tempted with Potiphar's wife, and he said no. How do you see that sovereignty working out there? You see that because of the fact that, you know, when Joseph becomes prime minister, he's going to have many women trying to capture his eye, many women that are going to try to maybe have more than one wife. But no, God in his sovereignty has worked it all out that Joseph, as he stayed true to the Lord, God was able to bless him. God stayed with him in the prison house. God stayed with him when he was before Pharaoh. God gave him the interpretation of the dream. God gave him the ability to tell him what he should do for the dream. And then now, as he has been lifted up to the head, we see what happens here. We see that there are 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, and then there are 7 years of famine. Some people would view that as a type of the rapture, that there are 7 years. And those 7 years, what is Jesus and God trying to do? He's trying to get his brethren back. And what does God use those 7 years of famine? He uses those 7 years of famine to bring back his brethren to him, into that fellowship, into that part. So when we look at this woman, Asenath, what do we see? We see a person here who was lost, without hope, but now she is in a glorious position. And God is using her. What do we see with the bride of Christ? The bride of Christ is someone who was lost, has a very sinful past, but once we became Christians, our sins have been blotted out, and now we have a special place. We have a seat in the heavenlies, and that seat in the heavenlies is not because of what we've done, because of who we are, but it's said that seat in the heavenlies is because of who we are connected with, who we are, our bridegroom is. And then we have a special part here. What's your part? I mean, so many times I think we own our own lives, that we think that, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my life. This is my car, my house, my money, my talents, my abilities. We learned about that on Wednesday night. We're just playing a part in God's story. God knows the beginning. God knows the end. And we get the opportunity to have a special part of what he has planned for us. His will, his destiny for us. I know you say, Pastor, you should use this language with the young people and the kids. It's not just for them. It's for anyone who's alive and breathing today. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. We have a sovereign part. This woman, Asenath, would have been lost and been worshiping these gods until her death. But then she was able to have the benefit of Joseph because of Joseph's exaltation and his what God had done in his life. It's the same thing for us. We have so much to be thankful for. God has brought us up, and we sit in an exalted position because of what Christ has done for us. Hopefully this morning that you got everything that I was trying to bring across. Hopefully you understood the picture there. Like I said, I don't usually talk very much about pictures and types in the Bible, and hopefully it didn't bore you or lose you at all. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm saying it's because of the presentation. But this woman here is a picture of what us as the bride of Christ is. Remember, God's got a plan for all of us. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the chance to be able to come to your house and worship you. And Lord, I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, they are a blessing to me. And Lord, I pray as we go through this story of Joseph that you help us to understand and see how you were able to use a life that was completely dedicated to you. And Lord, how you can use us in the same way. And Lord, how this woman Asenath was blessed because of her associations with Joseph, and how what a beautiful picture it is to what we are with you. Lord, I'm thankful for the fact that we were sinners and lost, and you came to this world to die for us. And Lord, that God the Father has highly exalted you to a position at the right hand. And Lord, we have a special spot, joint heirs with you, because of what you've done for us, not because of us. Help us never forget where we came from. Help us never forget where we're going. Help us to always understand that we have a special spot because of the fact we know you. In Jesus' name, amen.